Scripture reading today is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18b and 20. But be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
So yeah, we just had Thanksgiving. Welcome back from that break. I know right before that break, Pastor Will Baker came and spoke to you and encouraged you with words from the book of James. And we're going to be focusing on Thanksgiving again, this idea of giving thanks always and for everything. This verse tells us that we can give thanks always and for everything, and that's an amazing thing because there are lots of things in our lives that we're not really thankful for. But the reason why we can give thanks always and for everything is because of the promise that we read earlier this morning from Romans 8:28. Says that all things work together for our good. And so that means the joys and the afflictions work for our good. That means the happy times and the sad times work for our good. The heart lifters, the heartbreakers, they work for our good. The dreams come true, the nightmares come true. They all work for our good. And so that gives us reason to give thanks always and for all things. So that's what I want to think about today. We often think that the more we have, the more we're thankful. You know, if I had really what I wanted, then I'd be thankful for what I had. But if we reflect on our own lives and reflect on our culture, that statement is consistently proven to be false again and again and again. The way it actually works out in life is the more we have, the less thankful we often become. One man named Robert Morgan, he wrote this. A hungry man is more thankful for his morsel of food than a rich man for his table full of food. A lonely woman in a nursing home is more thankful for a visit than a popular woman with a party thrown in her honor. A Russian who finally gets his own copy of the Holy Scriptures after 70 years of state-imposed atheism is more thankful for his little book than we are for all the Christian books and magazines and translations that overflow our shelves. End quote. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it this way: if the constellations appeared only once in 1,000 years, imagine what an exciting event that would be. But because they're there every night, we barely give them a look. We often think that the more we have, the more thankful we'd be, but it's actually the reverse that happens. The more we have, the less thankful we become, the more entitled we feel. Well, as Christians, we should be very countercultural this way. Our lives should be lives of thanksgiving. We're not told to just give thanks one time a year, but to live lives of thanksgiving. And here in this command, we're commanded to give thanks always and for everything. It's the most comprehensive command on giving thanks in all of Scripture. We are to give thanks at all times and for all things. Well, I want to break down this comprehensive command and think of four categories that cover all of life for which we should give thanks. So four categories of things that I want you to give thanks to God for. We're going to start with the easiest one. The first category is you should be thankful for the good things that God has given to you. Be thankful for the good things that God has given to you. We have so much to give thanks for because God has overwhelmingly blessed us with good things. You should be thankful that you live in a country where there's lots of food to eat. You can go to a cafeteria, eat to your heart's content, enjoy that. If that weren't enough, there are restaurants and stores filled with food. I am particularly thankful for enchiladas and chocolate ice cream, although not together. Those are my two favorites, if you want to get me a present. You have a warm bed to sleep in, a roof over your head. You live in a country where it's relatively safe, where there's lots of opportunities to learn. You should be thankful for the small things that we take for granted. There's so many small things that we just live with, we don't even recognize or give thanks for. Think about friction, the fact of friction. If without friction, everything would fall apart. Nails would be squeezed out of place, screws wouldn't stay, nothing would stick together. Thank God for friction. Thank God for lizards and hummingbirds, for paint, for Home Depot. Thank God for the shoes that protect your feet so you don't step on sharp rocks and stub your toes. Thank God for maple trees and dogwoods as you walk by them. Thank God for music and harmony, for sports and entertainment, for trains and planes and cars and buses and trucks and boats, for air conditioning and furnaces, for friendships and roommates and marriages and children and in-laws. Thank God for jobs and work and computers and Google calendars and email and internet, for dumb phones, for smartphones, for rain, for sunshine, warm days, cold days, snow days. You could go on and on and on. Just look around you. You could give thanks for, you could spend the whole day in this room giving thanks for all the things that you see. Well, as we think about the good things that God's given to us in this life, our minds should also be directed to the idea that these, as good as they are just really a small taste of the good things that are still to come. They should remind you that we are on our way towards glory, towards life eternal in the new heavens and new earth. In 1 Peter, we're told that there's an inheritance kept for us in heaven that will never perish, spoil, or fade. There will be pleasures that will be enjoyed at the right hand of God forever. And so as you think about this spiritual inheritance, we remember all the blessings that are ours in Christ right now. You know, in Ephesians 3, a few chapters before we get to this verse, Paul erupts with thanksgiving for the gracious gifts that we've been given. He says, we've been chosen, loved, predestined, forgiven, adopted as a child of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're united to Christ and his church. We're saved by grace through faith. We have new life with God now and forever. And again, we could go on and on and on as we consider the blessings that we have as the children of God. Now is a time in your life where, you know, it's a time in the time of the year where you get overwhelmed with all the troubles and all the trials and all the burdens and responsibilities you have. Well, now might be a good time to sit down, maybe take out a paper and a pen, and just reflect on how good God has been to you, all the good things that he's given to you. And it'll reorient your perspective and fill your heart with thanksgiving instead of being filled with complaining as we can so easily do. So thank God for the good things that he's given to you. That's the first category. Second category now. Give thanks to God for the good things that God has not given to you. Give thanks to God for the good things he has not given to you. In this room, we represent lots and lots of unfulfilled desires. Lots of us ache for things that for various reasons God has not yet given to us. And we're called to thank God for these good things that he hasn't given to us. Think about the good things that God hasn't given to you. Maybe that's a relief from some physical pain or trouble. Maybe that's relief from some emotional pain or trouble. Maybe he hasn't given you the success that you wanted as you've studied. Maybe your roommate situation isn't great. Maybe you've wanted a significant relationship, that special someone, but God doesn't seem to give it to you even though you ask. Maybe there are financial burdens that weigh on you or some freedom from a struggle that God hasn't given you. Or maybe it's as simple as not having the latest and greatest smartphone. Think about, in your life, what it is, those good things that God keeps from you. Well, we're told to be thankful for these things that God doesn't give us. We should ask why. Why should we be thankful when God doesn't give us good things? Why should we be thankful when God doesn't give us those things that we so desperately desire? Well, we're to be thankful because through those unfulfilled desires, God is redirecting us toward him to reveal to us that our greatest desire needs to be for him and for him alone. You know, one of the most spiritually difficult times in my life, seasons of my life, but also one of the most spiritually growing times in my life was the unfulfilled desire to be married. I didn't get married till I was 31. Lots of kids go to college, go to Christian colleges, expecting that, you know, after you graduate or sometime shortly after that, you get married. That didn't happen for me. I wasn't even in a serious relationship. But you know, I thank God for that. I thank God for those single years because he used those years to help me understand that my greatest desire has to be for him and not for something that he might give me. I learned to find my joy in him, to learn what it meant to find God, not just as someone who can give me what I really want, but that he is the one I really want. And I continue that lesson, to learn that lesson as a married man. But I thank God for not giving me that gift, that he withheld from me, so I would learn to value him. What are those things in your life that God has withheld from you? Things that you pray for, things that you ache for. And it's good to pray for good things. But when he doesn't give them to you, that doesn't mean that he doesn't care, but rather it means he wants you to find your great joy and delight in him. He's revealing himself to you through this unmet desire. And for that, you can give thanks. So thank God for the good things that he hasn't given to you. Now for the third category. The third category of things to give thanks for are the bad things that God spares us from. The bad things that God spares us from. As difficult as your trials are, as heavy as your burdens are, we can all think of worse situations that God has spared us from for the time being. There are worse struggles, worse pains, worse heartbreaks, worse crises than what you're experiencing right now. And it's good for us to think about these things. As bad as it may be, it could be worse. And we should thank God for sparing us from bad things. When I was younger, I was playing hide and seek out behind our church. And I was running for base. And there was a chain link fence that had fallen over on its side, and at the top of a chain link fence, you know, it's like barbed wire, basically. While we were running along that chain link, along the side of that chain link fence, I tripped, and I cut up my face pretty good. I got a gash here above my lip, a gash right by my eye, and I cut my ear in half. And it took 50 stitches to put my face back together. So I wasn't born this way, you know. This is how the doctors made me look. But this cut right by my eye is a millimeter away from my eyeball, but it didn't touch my eye. I was a millimeter away from losing my eyesight in that eye, but God spared that eye. And I thank God that it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been. And we can all think of times, and we aren't even aware of all those times where God spared us from things that could have been so much worse. So when you go through those hard times, think about how it could be worse. Thank God that you're not battling for food every day. Thank God that you're not dying in a concentration camp like so many did not that long ago. You know, our country has problems, and we can enumerate those, but thank God that it's not as bad as it could be. There's always a worse situation. And you can think, you should thank God for his grace in those times. So as you think about those bad things that God has spared you from, it should also get you to consider the spiritual realities that you've been spared from. As Christians, as hard as this life may be, you've been spared from a life of pointlessness and godlessness, a life of misery, a life without real joy or hope. And if you know God, then you've been spared from the agony of hell. Think of the worst day you've ever had in your life. Actually, think of all the worst days you've had in your life. Try to squeeze them into one day here on earth, and then multiply that by a billion trillion. And then you might understand a little drop of the endless oceans of misery in hell. where there's no hope, no joy, no friendship, just misery, pain, and sorrow to the maximum degree. Separation from God. You've been spared the agony of hell through the cross of Jesus Christ. He experienced it for you on the cross so that you would be set free. And so we should train our minds to, instead of complaining about the troubles in our lives, thank God that it's not worse. Thank God that it isn't hell. So thank God for the bad things that he spared you from. So those are the first three categories. Thank God for the good things he's given to you. Thank God for the good things he hasn't given to you. Thank God for the bad things he spared you from. And then the fourth and the hardest category of all, and the last category, we're to be thankful for the bad things that God has given to us. We're to be thankful for those bad things that God hasn't spared us from. In Romans 5, Paul says that we are to rejoice in suffering. Suffering is a result of the curse of sin and death. It's not good in itself. James tells us we're to consider it pure joy when we face all kinds of trials. Will Baker talked to you about that last week. We're actually to give thanks for the bad things that come into our life. To give thanks for the nightmares that become reality. All of us here are acquainted with trial from one degree to another. Struggle, sorrow. And if we had a choice, if you were in control of your life, there's no way you would have written your life, the story of your life this way. You would have avoided those hard things. But our great God, who is loving without reservation, without hesitation, who perfectly loves all of his people, he loves you at all times. He's brought hard things into your life. And you have to ask why. Some people think that God just gets a kick out of watching you squirm. That's not at all what's happening. Instead, he brings trials into your life because through the fire and the pain of struggle, he's revealing himself to you. Sometimes we're so blinded, so stubborn, that we need the sharp pain of a broken heart or a broken body or mixed up emotions or a broken life in order to bring us to our knees, to draw us close to him. And that is sure evidence of his grace. God brings us through hard times to remind us that we remind us of what we can really put our hope in, and not these mirages that are off in the distance. When God takes away those things that you love, he does so in part to help you get your eyes off of those things as your great joy, and your eyes onto him. We have two great kids. We have a boy, Knox, who's just a year old, and we had a birthday party for him. I'm convinced that first year birthday parties are for the parents and not for the kids, of course. A one-year-old has no idea what's going on. Well, we had this party and it was fun, but when it was time to open presents, Knox was, we had to sit him down next to his presents. He doesn't know what a present is, really. And we opened these presents, and he was actually far more entertained by the wrapping paper than he was with the presents. And so eventually, after some time, I let him play with that wrapping paper for a little bit, but he was ignoring his presence. So I took the wrapping paper away, and he cried for a moment. But then he finally began to pay attention to the little stuffed lamb that he got. He cried when I took the paper away until he saw the lamb. Well, sometimes in life, we are far more fascinated with the paper that was wrapped around the present than we are of the present itself. We lose sight of the real gift that we have in God. And so, as painful as it can be, God sometimes takes away the wrapping paper in your life so that you can see the gift of his presence and his friendship and his love. I read a blog some years ago, of a woman whose husband was diagnosed with cancer, and she really encapsulates this idea. The title of her blog was Thankful for Cancer. Here's what she writes. It's a little long, so try to stick with me. Because of cancer, we are closer to the Lord than we've ever been. Perhaps the enemy meant for cancer to separate us from Christ, but it caused us to cleave to him. Coming to the end of ourselves, we found the goodness of the Lord. Because of cancer, we've grown in ways that would not have been possible otherwise. Because of cancer, our marriage is stronger and more intimate. It was the catalyst to conversations of the most sacred and delicate words two individuals can share. Because of cancer, we have been active stewards in getting our finances in order. Because of cancer, our children have been privy to knowledge and wisdom we could not have taught them by any other means. Because of cancer, priorities arise with clarity. There's a focused urgency to get on with the things of God and to avoid distractions. Because of cancer, we understand that our days are numbered. Because of cancer, we understand that every second of every day is a gift to be treasured because they are fleeting. Because of cancer, our perspective has changed. Before, vehicles needing repair, sump pumps gone wonky, or a broken pair of glasses would have seemed significant. But now those things are seen through the lens of cancer and become insignificant by comparison. Because of cancer, our senses have been heightened to absorb our surroundings and allow them to linger, whether it's the color of autumn or the taste of a conversation shared over coffee, the scent of rain, the sound of laughter, or the embrace of another. Because of cancer, we are able to comfort those with the comfort we received. Because of cancer, death is no longer a threat, for those who are in Christ will live for eternity. Though it can ravage a body, it has no jurisdiction over the spirit for those who are in Christ. It has no victory. Christ conquered it upon the cross. This thing called cancer has lost its grasp. Christ bore its sting. Because of cancer, we are able to see that everything that was allowed into our lives first filters through the hand of a sovereign and loving God for his glory and our good. Through those fingers, the light begins to dance against the darkness, causing it to whimper as it's enveloped. Because of cancer, we are consciously aware of God's presence in every detail of our lives and our utter dependence upon him. Because of cancer, we are learning to surrender our lives into the hands of God and entrust our care to him. As we continue to faithfully abide in doing good works, he's prepared for us in advance to do. Because of cancer, we have not learned how to die, but how to live. Words fail to adequately express our gratitude for God's mercy. I abhor cancer, but I am thankful for what God has done in our lives through it. End quote. What is the cancer in your life that God is using to help you know more of him? Be thankful for those bad things that God has brought into your life. We hate those bad things, as we should. But God uses even these bad things to bring about our good. It's so easy for us to live our lives filled with complaining, to take so much for granted, to focus only on the problems, the things that aren't going right. And when we do that, those trials grow to disproportionate size. It leads us to a life of drudgery and despair and fear. But as Christians, as those saved by the blood of Jesus, we're called to give thanks always and for everything. Thank God for those good things he's given to you. Enjoy those. Thank God for those good things he hasn't given to you. Thank God for those bad things he spared you from. And thank God for those bad things that he hasn't spared you from. He works all things together for your good. That is a promise. You may not understand exactly how it works for your good. You won't understand it perfectly in this life, but you can trust in this promise. So thank God, always, and for everything. And the name of Jesus will be lifted up. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your great promise that you work all things together for our good, for your glory. Help us to live lives of thanksgiving, giving thanks with confidence that you work together all things for our good. And as we learn to give thanks, let people see so that your name would be lifted up. Our desire is to see your name lifted up and all people brought to you. It's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.